Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Swing and a hot shot toward the gap. That's going to get down. Riley's rolling around second. A little stumble. He's coming around third. Here he comes. Throw to the plate. Braves win it.
How about that? Guess who wakes up in first place by themselves this morning in the National League East?
Boom. With a big weekend looming. Big old weekend looming.
And the Braves will be in first place, win or lose today, when the Philadelphia Phillies come to town on Friday. Welcome to the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Six wins in a row, first place. There was a rain delay. There was a clutch hit by Austin Riley. There was another clutch hit by Ozzie Albies, and the Braves are red hot and rolling. How you doing, Hugh?
I'm good. Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. You know, it's funny, John, watching that game last night early on and watching the Braves play small ball. I thought about you and when you were talking about yesterday, well, I need them to play a little bit more small ball. I guess they must have been listening to the show.
They must have.
They must have been listening to the show because you're talking about it took, what, six, was it a 4-2 lead early on with no home runs hit?
Yeah, 6-2, actually.
Yeah, it was 6-2. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was trying to remember vaguely. But yeah.
Because that Soroka single.
Yeah. So it was pretty exciting to see that because it's almost like every time that you speak about something, you speak it into existence, like what you want to see. And that has been the case all season long. So I don't have a problem with you talking out of the sighting next morning. So
well,
go ahead and do that.
If that's the case, where are we having the World Series parade?
You know what? I mean, who's to say that they can't turn this thing around? I don't know if that's the case. I think that's going to be, you know, pretty tough, not knowing what your measuring stick is as far as the Dodgers are concerned right now. But this weekend, you can get a good feel for where you are. Definitely a good feel.
Can you do me a favor?
Right, what's that?
Can you buy me like 15 seconds to go get a chair?
Go for it.
All right, thanks.
Yes, as John Fricke goes to get a chair, you know, he's the type of guy that he has to have a specific chair when he comes into the Kia Studios. Because for whatever reason, our chairs are most of them are broken. And people tend to pick the same chairs that they like to sit in every day. Me, on the other hand, it doesn't matter. I just sit in any chair that's in front of me, and it doesn't really make a difference.
Well, there was no chair here when I walked in the studio this morning.
That's probably why my back feels the way that it does. But, hey, you know what?
Right.
You don't know what you don't know. But, yeah, it was a great win last night, man. I couldn't give them – that rain today delay kind of killed it for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't give them –
yeah, I couldn't give them the money. You bring that tarp out, and we're pretty much
done.
Yeah,
it's a wrap. It's a kiss to me.
You know, that tarp goes out, and those for us, those covers go
out. I know Abe, the producer, stayed up to watch it, I think. Abe, you stayed up to
No,
Abe didn't make it. Abe had trivia last night. I've been telling Abe for the last couple weeks that I'm going to try to make it a trivia night because his trivia is not too far from where I stay.
Okay.
And, you know, I hate, like, last night that I missed because they had one question that I probably could have gotten.
What was that?
And they were asking about which group did Bushwick Bill, rest in peace, he just passed last week. And they asked what group was he in, famous group was he in. And Abe called me after the fact and said nobody got it but, like, one person. One person out of
the
group
answer
got
is?
It. It's the Ghetto Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I could have got that answer. But then I was like, well, I don't know if I really want to answer that question because being that probably I was going to be the only African-American there, and I don't know how I would have felt about that. Because it's like, okay, he knows rap music. Like, you know, that would have been my one shining moment.
The worst would have been if everybody at the table just looked at you.
Yes, and be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? You're a black guy. You know who they are. So it's one of those situations where I'm like, yes, I could have been
and
a
then
factor.
You didn't know the answer and it would have been like, oh, man, what good are you?
Yeah, what the hell? But no, I told him I was going to go. I just want to sit in, man, because it seems like, you know how we all have our routines and stuff, and it just seems like that's pretty cool. And I keep telling him I'm going to go, but, you know, once you get home and you get settled from what we do and get ready for the games and everything, it's kind of hard to move around.
Oh, no, once I have dinner, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know, I sit down in that easy chair, I'm pretty much done.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get better because this year, like, you know, my son's playing football.
Okay.
So yesterday I took him to football practice and, you know, got to see them run around a little bit. It's, you know, they were just conditioning. Not nothing crazy, just conditioning. They've been working out with him. So I might start to try to be a little bit more involved in that just so I could kind of, you know, break the day up a little bit because it's not that long. I mean, out there doing conditioning. It's only like an hour. So I'm going to try to break that up a little bit.
But you know what's going to happen.
What's that? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that dad.
No. You're going to get roped in. You're a three-time
All-Pro. But Chris Slade, hey, Coach Slade is a good coach.
Yeah, well, Coach Slade's going to say, how about a little bit of help here, Hugh? No, I mean, just show these defensive ends a thing or two.
I doubt it. But this is what I do, John. When I go even, because I'm still.
Is there anybody in that staff that has, more sacks than you in the NFL?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anybody got a ring I don't know about?
Well, Chris Slade has a ring.
Well, okay. Chris Slade does have a ring.
You know what I mean? He has a ring.
Yeah.
But, no, it's not that. It's more, I just want to let my son get comfortable because this is like his official first year playing in high school. And, you know, it's a little different. Down here in Georgia, it's a little different. I mean, it's different everywhere, but I just feel like down here especially with the talent that we have in these schools and everything, like he's kind of – hitting the ground a little late.
Has he had his growth spurt yet?
Not yet.
Because last time I saw him, which
he's
was
taller, but he hasn't filled out yet.
He's taller. I know that, right?
He hasn't filled out yet. So we go out, we go work out, we go eat. We're just trying to see if this year is the year because we still don't know what position he's going to play yet. You know, and I'm still holding out hope that he's going to play the D line, but it doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But with his build, he put on a little bit of size. Who knows?
So he was working out yesterday with the team?
Was that
OTAs?
It's kind of like that, you know.
So he showed up?
Yeah, he showed up. Okay. He came. Yeah. But he has no choice. He's not. He doesn't have that cachet. He doesn't have that cachet.
Braves beat the Pirates last night and move into sole possession of first place because the Phillies lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, Philadelphia doesn't play today. The Braves do play a noon game today at SunTrust Park against the Pirates ahead of the weekend series against the Phillies, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And no matter what happens today, the Braves will be in first place when the Phillies roll into town. We'll get into all of that in just a few minutes. Some of the other headlines this morning with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Critical Game 6. Toronto could win it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that will, of course, get into all of that. The Blues have won the
Cup. I was about to say, John, I was wondering, I was waiting to see where you're going to mention it because I know that was another thing that you wanted to speak into existence, talking about beating the Bruins yesterday and the fact that St. Louis went out there and they took care of their business and denied the Bruins another trophy.
And beat them in Boston, no less.
Yes.
Beat them 4-1 last night.
Yeah, that was a tough place to play, but they got it together last night and won and got to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup.
Yeah, I wonder how that feels, Boston.
To lose at home like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably stings a little bit.
Oh, darn.
But you know what they'll say? We got next year.
Uh-huh.
You know, the thing about probably living in a city like that and rooting for a team, being a guy that roots for all your professional teams like that, because they're a 4-for-4 city too, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got four professional
sports.
Five.
City.
Okay, 5-for-5. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. Well, it's like almost for them and the success that they've had, we got the Pats coming up, so you know what I mean.
Right. It's like the Red Sox.
They're probably still off the emotional high of the Red Sox winning it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean. So this is a little bit of law.
I know.
And then you know they're like, we got the Patriots, you know, and we got clam chowder. Yeah. The Patriots, we got that.
Yeah, so, because the Celtics had a good year, just couldn't quite get it done. Right, you know. Revolution's not no good, but, you know, that's all right. But the Blues win their first ever cup, and it's interesting to note that they beat Boston in Boston, and the MVP of the series, his last name is O'Reilly in Boston, Ryan O'Reilly of the Blues. The U.S. Open begins today.
Tonight?
Yeah, and it's such a big field, Hugh. 52 players, 52 groups, 156 players. They actually start teeing off at 9:45 this morning, which is 6:45 a.m. at Pebble Beach out of the Monterey Peninsula in California. But Tiger's group doesn't tee off until 5:09 p.m. tonight.
And that's why I said it starts tonight. That's why I said it starts tonight. Because I think that's when most of the people, it's going to pique their interest.
Well, I mean, this is such a great idea. You're going to have a super group go off at 5:09. Actually, there's a pretty good group right in front of them with Brooks Koepka and Francesco Molinari. That'll be the group in front of Tiger. But it's Tiger, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Rose. How about that group? And they're going to tee off at 5:09 p.m. tonight, which means right after my dinner, because I eat around 5. Look when I get up. So we may just have to eat dinner a little bit earlier. Man, we're going to be watching golf all night.
That might be kind of fun. Now, you know, I know I'm not the biggest golf fan here. I don't watch it that much. But tonight I might tune in just to see what it's like to watch golf damn near in prime time. I mean, because that's basically what it is.
Well, just in prime time, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I consider, what, prime time 7, 8 o'clock?
Well, they'll be making the turn around 7.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're watching it in prime time because that's something I've never done. And I know that a lot of people are going to be tuned into that.
Oh, yeah.
And then turn over to the finals when that starts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to be like a little bit of an appetizer before you go to the main course.
And there is, so that'll be really kind of interesting, you know. It'll be interesting to see what the ratings are for a game like that. Now, you are also going to have the finals on, and around when they make the turn tonight, Atlanta United is going to be streaming tonight because they're playing tonight. This whole debacle is, all right, so here's what happened, and we'll get more into it. Jason Longshore is going to join us a little bit later on. You know, the game was canceled in Charleston because of the field conditions. They couldn't find another place, whatever. They all had to bus here. Charleston came behind the Atlanta United. They're going to play tonight, but you can't go to the game. No. I'm not saying that you have to work or I'm denying you. Nobody can go to the game. It's a closed-door game at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw. No fans. So it's going to be one of those weird days. They're saying Hugh because of security reasons and they couldn't get the staffing. And
I believe that. I believe that because, John, you think about it. Like, to put on those big major events, you got to make sure you have security and everything, like safety first, and all the stuff that we don't see as fans and patrons of our favorite teams, that they have to do all of that. And to get all of that security and stuff lined up in such short notice, probably kind of hard to do. Especially with, you know, this weekend so close to us and guys having other stuff to do.
And with a quick turnaround. With them playing tonight, the game will stream on various platforms, but it's not going to be one you can attend. So it's going to be odd to play a game in a quiet stadium with no fans, with Atlanta United playing Charleston tonight. And hopefully they can get this game, in. Because that's why you're playing at Kennesaw, because it's on a turf field, because there's going to be no rain issue with playing at Fifth Third Bank. So hopefully everything goes swimmingly tonight for the Five Stripes. And we'll talk with Jason Longshore a little bit later in the program about that. Of course, the big story here is the Atlanta Braves moving into first place in the National League East by themselves on June 13th. We'll have the highlights of the game. We'll hear from Ozzie Albies as he becomes the hero, and suddenly some of the Braves are starting to warm up. Austin Riley's back on the ball. And even on a night where Mike Soroka had his worst outing of the year, the Braves managed to scratch out a come-from-behind win, bail out Soroka, bail out their bullpen, and move into first place. That's all ahead next on this first place kind of Thursday morning with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and 92 on TheGame.com.
Hit shot, score!
Atlanta United are back in action
as they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Driven high in the air to right. Cabrera onto the warning track at the wall. That ball is off the wall. And the Braves are going to score 2. Riley around second, on his way to third, and hit off the top of the padding. And Atlanta has a 3 spot. Wow.
Chip Carey on Fox Sports Southeast. We should have known right from the jump that Austin Riley was back on the ball, because that one barely missed going out. Might have been a 2-home run night for Austin Riley. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. That 2-run triple, just the start of things for the Braves last night. 15 hits in a rain-delayed comeback win over the Pittsburgh Pirates to claim sole possession of first place.
Yeah, John, and the thing about that one, the Pirates weren't going anywhere. You know, the Braves jumped out on them early, and they just kept fighting back. But, you know, the Braves fought back, and they were showing their resilience. and they got the win. Didn't get a chance to see it after the rain delay, excuse me, because that's, you know, for us, that's a long night. But the way that they fought back and the way that they kept fighting, I mean, this team, they know where they're standing. They know where they are right now. And even with all this baseball left to play, I think they're building their confidence. Even on the night where Soroka didn't have his greatest stuff, for that offense to hit the way that they did and play small ball like you were alluding to a couple days, well, yesterday when you talked about how you were a little uncomfortable. That might not be the right word. You were a little
concerned
about how they kind of relied heavily on the big hit.
Right. My concern was they were going to sit around and wait for it, and if it doesn't come, you've got to take your chances. And like, for example, at one point, you know, Acuna was caught stealing in front of a double by Dansby Swanson, and you say, well, you know, if he hadn't tried to steal, he would have scored on the Swanson double, which, by the way, Swanson scored anyway. But the answer to that is yes, but I was happy to see them still be aggressive on the base paths, you know.
All of that. And that's the thing that we were talking about, John. None of that has went anywhere. I think it's more so you do it when it is a necessity to do it, when you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was last night.
And Ron Washington is not afraid to wave guys home. That's for darn sure. So let's talk a little bit about what happened last night. So the Braves build the 3-0 lead. They eventually, even though Soroka surrenders a couple of runs, make that 6-2 because Soroka gets those two runs back by himself with a two-run single in the third inning. So it's 6-2 Braves, but the Pirates kept chipping away. And again, Soroka didn't have his best stuff last night. So it's 6-5. We're going to the latter stages of the game. The Pirates tie it at 6, and then in the top of the ninth, they take a 7-6 lead because the Braves bullpen blew it again. All right, so it's 7-6, bottom of the ninth inning. It looks like the Braves are going to lose until guess who steps to the plate.
3-1. Fly ball well hit center. Drifting back Marte at the track, at the wall. It's gone! Riley ties it. He gets Crick again. Straightaway center, a moonshot.
Well, straightaway center just crept out of the ballpark, and because of that, Austin Riley gets his 10th home run. He becomes the fastest Atlanta Brave in history to get to 10 home runs starting his career. He also becomes, I believe, the fastest Milwaukee Brave to get to 10 home runs in his career. Hadn't been done since the Boston Braves.
Good way to start, man. I cannot say it enough. And the poise that he showed when he was in his little, I guess you'd call it a mini slump, for him just to stay focused the way that he did, man. I think that's a testament to him as an individual and the people that he have around him. Because I'm pretty sure that his teammates were basically, hey, man, you know, don't worry about it. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, he's been able to work his way out of it. This guy right here, man, you know, we were talking the other day, and we were asking whether or not nationally that people are starting to you know, show him, you know, recognizing. I think last night there's a strong case that last night probably was his coming out party as far as people looking at this young kid and say, hey, man, this cat might be legit. I think last night was the night.
Well, some people said, you know, maybe he should be in the Home Run Derby now. And, hey, you know, haven't been up enough. But, you know, we still have 20-some games to go before the All-Star break. Maybe he should be in the Home Run Derby.
You know, it's funny. It's a possibility. I don't know about All-Star because I thought that as well. I think his body of work is that, you know, I'm pretty sure that some people have been probably kicking it around, but he hasn't done a whole lot yet.
Guys want to do it now. Because
I would probably try to push. If I'm Braves organization, I would try to push to put him in the Home Run Derby, especially when you think about it, John. A lot of people don't really like being in the Derby because of the fact that they feel like it messes up their swing.
But here's why. If you can get him into the Home Run Derby, he is the hot guy right now, of course. And first prize in the Home Run Derby?
$1 million.
It's
a nice little chunk of change.
You know, for a guy like that who doesn't have, you know, he's not making a big bucks. He's making minor league dollars. So, I mean, yeah, $1 million would be all the world to him. Yes, he becomes Austin Riley, the first rookie slugger, fastest to 10 home runs in the history of the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Braves, because the last to get to 10 home runs in 26 games was Wally Burger. Of the Boston Braves. Wally Burger of the Boston Braves in 1930, which means, can I go over my skis a little bit?
Go for it, John. Okay. You always, hey, they was new. Go for it.
Riley got to 10 home runs in his career faster than Andrew Jones, faster than Dale Murphy, faster than Eddie Matthews.
Good company.
Faster than Hank Aaron.
Good company.
Okay. I'm not drawing anything from that. I'm just saying he got to 10 home runs faster than
that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Good company, though. I mean, you know, you can't argue numbers. You can't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
And the company that you just talked about, yeah, they're all Hall of Famers. No, you know, they're great players. You just pointed out the fact that he's in that rarefied air.
That's all. That's all I'm pointing out. Yep. 1930. So it's 7-7, and we go to extra innings. And in the extra innings, they kind of trade swats back and forth. We have, of course, the rain delay and everything like that that happened during the game. So the game is like, you know, approaching midnight. It's going to be a quick turnaround because today's a noon game for these two.
Yeah, so they had to come home and get some rest.
And as of late, of course, you've had a lot of hot bats for the Braves with all the home runs and everything that's been falling for them. Freddie's been hot. Acuna's warmed up. Riley's back on the ball. Donaldson's had some key hits. I mean, there a lot of the guys. Dansby's still swinging a pretty good bat. And suddenly, Brian McCann had a couple of home runs. Here comes, of all guys, Ozzie Albies is starting to really warm up again. Remember that first half he had last year? So it's the bottom of the 11th inning, and Austin Riley's on first base. Here comes that aggressiveness I wanted to see to make sure, and we're talking about Ron Washington, when this happens.
Swing and a hot shot toward the gap. That's going to get down. Riley's rolling around second. A little stumble. He's coming around third. Here he comes. Throw to the plate. Braves win it.
Beats the throw to the plate. Oh, I always love it when a Brave beats the throw to the plate to beat the Pirates.
Leg it out. Legging it out.
He's not Sid, but every time I see a Brave beat the throw at the plate to win a game against the Pirates, come on. The echoes of 1992, just they have to happen, okay? They just do. So Austin Riley legs it out, and this is what Austin said about doing the 270 feet to score the game-winning run.
Good shot. I knew it was in the gap, so I was, you know, running as hard as I can. If Wash stopped me, he stopped me. If not, you know, and, you know, he didn't stop me, and, you know, it was a good hit by Ozzie, and, you know, good team win.
Yeah, good team win. I can't wait till he's out of his rookie speak, you know, but
it's
going
to probably be a while.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, cliche-ish. You know, it's like that your first season.
Mm-hmm.
Your first season in any professional sport, you know, you don't want to say anything that could potentially, you know, get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So you just keep it real simple. Because number one, you don't feel like talking to the media, and just number two, you don't want to say nothing stupid. You know what I mean? That's the biggest fear, just saying something stupid. So just, you know, keep it cliche.
Yeah. So somebody comes over, pulls you aside, Rook, we got to talk. You know.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Well, no question of this series, the MVP of this series has been Ozzie Albies. He had two home runs in the first game, had another home run, has the game-winning clutch double to win the game in Game 3. The Braves have already won the series, no matter what happens. Today in a four-game series because they won the first three.
Yeah, but you want to finish strong, knowing what you have coming to town in the Phillies and knowing that they're probably going to try to recapture the number one spot, knowing that that's the team that kind of, you know, swept you. Well, not kind of swept you. They swept you at the beginning of the season.
You win today and Philadelphia comes in a game and a half back and is starting to look at that going, man.
Yeah, and that's why you want to put, again, still early, and I always want to, you know, preach that because that's where I am still. A lot of baseball left to be played, but you want to establish yourself as the dominant right now. That's what you kind of want to do. And you want to, if you can, John, you want to keep the Phillies looking up at you as long as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you
want to
do.
And, well, you want doubt to creep into Gabe Kapler.
Yes, and now that's when it starts, you know, because it's probably, you know, probably if it doesn't go well, it could start to unravel for the Phillies.
No, that's what we hope for.
No, it could start to unravel for
them. Now, it's going to be interesting today because Riley got hit in the hand before he scored the game-winning run. Okay?
Yeah.
And so we don't know kind of his status today. We hope that he's
going to tell you he's going
to
be sore.
Okay, he's going to be sore, right. Which means Donaldson probably going to have to start, and they may have to put somebody like Culberson into left field today.
Oh, wait a minute. Donaldson might serve a suspension.
Right.
Because, you know, normally how they – like Donaldson, if they play a night game, they usually rest the next day.
Right. And so, he could go ahead and serve the suspension. Or,
yeah.
Or he could wait till he gets to New York and appeal when he gets to New York.
I would say since this series is in hand,
yeah.
I would go ahead and
you know what? That's
suspension.
Actually probably a pretty good call.
Because you need him against
you
the
could
Phillies.
Put, right. You could, and you could give Camargo a shot at third, and you could put Culberson in left and rest those two guys. Matter of fact, you could do a little bit of a makeshift lineup today. Because guess who's pitching for the Pirates today?
Who?
Joe Musgrove.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you want to keep him out because you don't want that tape.
No, you don't want that.
You don't want nothing to pop off.
Yeah, we don't want that to pop off. That's what I was
Wait
about
a
to say.
He didn't get suspended?
Nope. No. Joe Torre said, no, Joe Musgrove's fine. Joe Musgrove, you know, he didn't do anything. I know. That's why. Don't get me started.
I like Donaldson for that. What you looking at? He didn't say what you looking at.
Well, Musgrove came off the mound and added some
what the flim flam?
You know,
what
this
the flim flam you looking at?
If Musgrove doesn't walk down the mound, everything's cool.
Well, no, you can't be reckless eyeballing, and when you know something like that go down, And then another thing is you just can't. If you're going to go all. If you're going to push your chips to the middle of the table, go ahead and push them to the middle of the table, man. Just start swinging.
All right, there's one other piece of news from the Braves yesterday that we haven't mentioned yet. You're going to be going to SunTrust Park today, but it won't be SunTrust Park next year. Did you hear the new name? The ballpark's changing names.
Sold it already. Wow.
We'll talk about that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This is John and Hugh.
All right, let's get it on.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Braves first place Thursday morning. Joe Musgrove pitching today against Julio Teheran in a noon game at SunTrust Park. But don't get so used to the name SunTrust Park anymore, because the name of the stadium is going to change next year.
What is it going to be?
It is going to be, well, now BB&T, Bakers Bank and Trust, bought out SunTrust Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will, they have a new name for the bank. It will be Truist Bank.
Truist.
T-R-U-I-S-T.
Truist.
Truist.
Truist Bank Stadium.
Yeah, Truist Bank Stadium. Now, it sounds odd to you, I know.
TBS.
But remember some people, you know, we have Fifth Third Bank, say, you know, in Kennesaw. I mean, if you stop and think about it, Fifth Third Bank? Do I want to go to the Fifth Third Bank? How about I go to the First Bank? I'll go to the Second Bank. The Fifth Third Bank? I mean, okay. So it sounds weird right now. I know. Truist Bank. But we'll get used to it. Truist Bank. So, you know, we had nicknames for the other two stadiums. And so I put out on the Twitter here, on at 929 The Game, we want you to jump in to our Twitter, at 929 The Game. Atlanta Fulton County was known as the Launching Pad. Turner Field was known as the Ted. SunTrust wasn't around long enough, I guess, to get a nickname. So what are we going to call Truist Park? You know, the True? I is that what we're going to call it?
I'm looking at you, Johnny. You're waiting for my reply. I don't know. Not that True, the True, no. TBS?
Truist,
TBS?
Truist
Bank Stadium?
Truist Bank Stadium, TBS. That's actually not a bad one. That's actually TBS? That's actually a pretty good one.
I mean, it's
because
it's
it works in town. We all know TBS.
Yeah, TBS.
Now the folks at Turner might not like that, but actually that's
well,
a pretty
TBS.
Good one.
Or TB Stadium or TBS?
TBS?
Yeah. I'd say, are we going to the TBS?
Hey, TBS might work. That might actually be a pretty darn good one, are you?
I mean, hey, every now and then I drop a gem in the morning.
Yeah, so if you want to jump in, and we're trying to figure out the new nickname for Truist Park. At Truist Park at the Battery. Maybe we should just play it off the Battery, you know?
What? The Battery?
Yeah, the whole Battery thing, you know?
The Battery Stadium. They might just call it the Battery. Who knows? Yeah, that Truist Bank, nah, I'm not feeling that right now. Not today. Maybe give me a little time to warm up to it, but nah, not feeling that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, you know, you pay people millions of dollars to sit around.
That's what I think.
And think of a name for stadiums. And that's the best you can come up with?
Well, it's not just it's the bank.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess.
You know, Truist Bank everywhere. It took me a while because banks change names all the time.
They do.
You know, and so it took me a while, like I said, to get the concept of Fifth Third. You know, first time I heard it, because Fifth Third was only up north. And the first time I heard Fifth Third Bank, I went, that's like the weirdest name in the world. It just didn't, you know, it was hard to just say, you know, Fifth Third Bank. Why would you call it that? And now I don't even think about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the same thing because it's new. We're going from SunTrust that we just got used to Truist Bank. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm not moved by that name. Not in the least. Not moved in the least by that name right now.
Yeah, that's why one of the things I like about college stadiums, they usually don't sell naming rights to college stadiums. You know, they honor their history, right? You know, Bobby Dodd Stadium, Grant Field, Sanford Stadium, and now Dooley Field, Jordan-Hare. I mean, Bryant Denny, they don't change names, you know. I mean, they just don't. That's fairly rare. I mean, you have some that do, but usually their multipurpose stadiums are owned by the city, not by the college. But
money, when money changes hands,
I know.
Especially when you're talking about football stadiums, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
I understand that.
Because those naming rights, man, that's a lot of bread. That's a lot of bread.
But I'm still having a hard time with State Farm, you know. I mean,
because
I still want to call it Phil. I still want to call it the Omni.
You know what's funny? I don't have a problem calling it State Farm Arena.
especially since it's still at the Omni.
You know, it's funny when they changed the name over. It just flowed. It was no brainer. State Farm, and the way that they changed, I guess because they renovated it and it made it to me. It's the same place, but it's different.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean?
Oh sure, yeah.
So that's why for me it was that name change wasn't a big of a deal.
Well, I worked down at the Omni for a long, long, long time. You know, so it's you know, just. But again, Truist Park is the new name of the stadium. And we'll see if we can get a nickname. So we got to get used to calling it Truist Park. Truist, T-R-U-I-S-T. Truist Park, because that's what the bank's going to be when they finally get the merger going through. Some of the headlines this morning, and we'll get back into some of the big headlines at the top of the hour, including the Falcons and the mandatory minicamp day number two. But we mentioned it earlier, just to go, speaking of Fifth Third Bank, an unusual event tonight at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw. Atlanta United will play tonight in a game against Charleston. This is the game they didn't play yesterday that was, air quotes, rained out down in Charleston, South Carolina, because of the condition of the field, and Atlanta United had turned around to come home, and they just wanted to get this game done with and move on because they're already out of their training schedule. So they decided to play it here in Atlanta on a turf field where you're not going to have any condition issues. They couldn't play it in Charleston. There's just nowhere to play it. So.
Yeah, and don't nobody get hurt going out there trying to watch the game, you know, climbing fences or, you know, take pictures or video of the game on your smartphone or anything like that. I don't know how they're going to handle this, but we do know that they're not selling tickets.
Right.
People aren't invited. So I don't know how much security they're going to have to keep people from actually getting into the stadium. But I would assume that they're going to have some. So just don't do anything too crazy.
Yeah, don't do it. Again, it's closed to the public. There will be media there. So it's going to be an odd game. It'll be streaming on ESPN+. All right? Streaming on ESPN+. And it's going to be, the media will be there. There'll be television cameras to stream it. And so it's just an odd, unusual thing tonight with Atlanta and Charleston at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw to play this U.S. Open Cup game that they didn't play down in Charleston. So that's how you'll be able to watch it, is if you stream it off ESPN. I don't have ESPN Plus.
I don't either.
You do?
Abe has it.
Abe has it. Of course Abe has it. You got it to watch UFC? Yeah. Here's why. And because if you start to think about it, you have all these, you know, insiders and plus and become a value member, and you start joining everything you want to join, and, you know, oh, it's only $3 a month. Oh, it's only $4 a month.
Add up.
Man, suddenly you belong to 28 things, and you're going, I'm spending $175 a month.
I got the basic cable because, you know, I want to watch the local news.
Mm-hmm.
I have Sling TV. I have Stars and HBO. And that's it. Oh, and Fire Stick. And I think I have, of course, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's about, about 40 bucks, 100 bucks,
mm-hmm.
maybe,
mm-hmm.
and the cable. So that's not that bad.
Right.
When you think about all the other stuff that you have, like that you could potentially get,
right.
those different tiers.
Insiders on the internet, you know, the premium memberships that you can get. And they always tease you, oh, it's only 99 cents for the first month or something. 7-day free trial, and then you forget. How many people forget?
They want you to forget. Want you to forget.
Speaking of that, hey, honey, did you get rid of that Sundance channel?
Nope. Matter of fact, I got to get rid of HBO now since Game of Thrones is done. Since they did us on the Game of Thrones, I got to get rid of that. Done.
What did Dan Quinn's T-shirt say on the front, and what does that mean? He'll tell you what it said and what it means. Day two of minicamp, who stood out? That's next with John and Hugh on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.